If you would, as Dan had alluded to, please go ahead and turn to Job 38 if you would like to read along. If you'd rather just listen to the reading, that would be fine as well. I will be reading from the ESV. I know personally sometimes if the translation is different than the reading, it's somewhat distracting. So you choose whichever you're more comfortable with. I'm going to read something that's not in my notes before I start this evening. Wow. Wow. Dan, thank you so much for your lead-in, helping us to get started. As we turn to Job 38, we'll be looking at Job, but most specifically we'll be looking at Job's answer to a very challenging question. As most of you know, Job was a very righteous man, very much blessed by God, and yet he got Satan's attention. And Satan got permission to do terrible, terrible things to test Job. He killed all of his many children, deprived him of all of his wealth, and did everything physically that he could do to Job short of killing him. And in all of this, Job refused to curse God. But Job had a question for God. And it's a question that we wrestle with in our own lives sometimes. This righteous man wanted to know, God, why? Why am I enduring this? And we can all relate to that question, can we not? We studied in our junior high class the question of evil, and we talked about this. Because Job got an answer. Righteous Job got that answer direct from the mouth of God. As Dan reminded us, God himself comes, as we start reading in Job 38, to answer that question. And does God give him an answer based on previous conversations he had with Satan? Does he reveal any of that truth, or does he have one simple yet profound answer for Job? His answer is so simple and so hard. His answer to Job is, I am God and you are not. That's his answer. And so when we face trials in life, that is the answer that we need to turn to. Because ultimately our faith is built upon that fact that we have an awesome God that loved us enough that he sacrificed his son. Now it's no coincidence that our songs were a little short this evening because we're going to do a long reading. We don't do this very often. And I will do this without apology. We'll be reading from Job chapter 38, 39, and verse 14 of Job 40. And this is just a part of God's answer to Job. And I will just briefly mention, because there is a transition at the end where Job answers God, I will be stepping to the side just to make that clear when Job is speaking. Okay, but generally it is God who is speaking. And when we do long readings, there's a tendency as the reader to want to try to rush through because they're long. I don't want to do that this evening. This is God's word. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, these readings are poetic. But above all, it's God's word and it's powerful. So I want to try to read it the best I can. But remember, whether I read this well or somebody else reads God's words well, it's God's word that makes it powerful in what it is. And let's respect it for what it is at all times. I'll have very little commentary at the end. This is about God's word this evening. I'll begin now reading in Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? And who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea and walked into the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And where is the place of darkness? That you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home. You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where the light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the torrents of rain and a way for the thunderbolt? To bring rain on a land where no man is, on the desert where there is no man. To satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the ground sprout with grass. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb did the ice come from? Or who has given birth to the frost of heaven? The waters have become hard like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season? Or can you guide the bear with its children? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings, that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts, or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can tilt the waterskins of the heavens, when the dust runs into a mass and the clods stick together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions, when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the ravens its prey, when its young ones cry to God for help, or wander about for lack of food? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the does? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time when they give birth? When they crouch, bring forth their offering, and are delivered of their young. Their young ones become strong. They grow up in the open, and they go out and do not return home to them. Who has let the wild donkey go free? Who has loosed the bonds of the swift donkey? To whom I have given the arid plain for his home, and the salt land for his dwelling place? He scorns the tumult of the city. He hears not the shouts of the driver. He ranges the mountains as his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Is the wild ox willing to serve you? Will he spend the night at your manger? Can you bind him in the furrow with ropes? Or will he harrow the valleys after you? Will you depend on him because his strength is great? Will you leave to him your labor? Do you have faith in him that he will return your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are they the pinions and plumage of love? For she leaves her eggs to the earth and lets them be warmed on the ground, forgetting that a foot may crush them and that a wild beast may trample them. She deals cruelly with her young, as if they were not hers. Though her labor be in vain, yet she has no fear, because God has made her forget wisdom and given her no share in understanding. When she rouses herself to flee, she laughs at the horse and his rider. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He paws in the valley and exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. Upon him rattle the quiver, the flashing spear, and the javelin. With fierceness and rage, he swallows the ground. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, "Aha!" He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wings towards the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the rock he dwells and makes his home, on the rocky crag and stronghold. From there he spies out the prey, his eyes behold it from afar. His young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there he is. And the Lord said to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I laid my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further." Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Have you an arm like God? And can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them all in the dust together. Bring their faces in the world below. Then will I also acknowledge to you that your own right hand can save you." Wow. As Dan said this morning, what is the source of our joy? It is God. So let us remember a simple fact spoken to us by God through his poetic, powerful word, that God is God and we are not. Amen.